is actually hard cheese.
Like pecorino?
Right, pecorino, parmesan.
Because it doesn't go bad as quickly, right?
Damn, you're learning,
kid. Look at me. I'm turning it around.
Woo,
now.
Dog.
I got a little stumped with the Industrial Revolution, but I'm bringing it back.
From Pizzeria Uno, man. You got it, baby.
New Haven style pizza. Come and take a seat. A pizza, it's time to eat.
Chard and New Haven Pizza Show, episode 44. We are back. It's Kevin Begley, Frank Zabski. What's happening, Frank?
Nothing much since the last time we spoke.
It's true. Yeah, we definitely recorded this episode now. We were talking about in the last episode that we got a lot of clips going out now on TikTok and Instagram, and we got a lot of short form content. So make sure you follow us on that if you're not already.
Yeah, definitely. We're starting to get a little traction on TikTok. You know, Instagram is kind of a little bit tough, but yeah, definitely follow us, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube channel, all that good stuff.
Yep, all the podcast platforms too. And we got a really fun episode. We're going to talk about some Connecticut pizza history, right? We've had some people saying like they love the memorabilia episode that we did, and they wanted a little bit more of that content. So, and you have a ton of stuff. So let's go over. You got a bunch of stuff sitting
right
here.
Don't touch my stuff, Kevin.
I'm going to touch it right now.
It's all in order.
Tell us what you got planned for us today.
Yeah, so today I just want to talk about really kind of pizza in Connecticut. You know, there's obviously already a book out there about pizza in New Haven, which is fantastic. But there's a lot more to pizza than just New Haven. Mm. And I love New Haven, and I love all the places from New Haven. But the point being is, you know, pizza in Connecticut is kind of where my heart is. So in my classes, one of the first things that we do is we talk about briefly pizza history in Connecticut. So that's what I'm going to do today.
Nice.
First thing I want to talk about is a lot of people don't realize that prior to the Italians coming over here, turn of the century, there was little to no Italian food in this country. Hmm. A lot of people don't realize that. So not only did the Italians come over here to bring their labor, which we'll get into quickly, but they brought their culture. Hmm. And most important, from what I've seen and what I've heard and kind of where I grew up, which was predominantly Italian area, was, you know, they're very passionate people. So I think a lot of the pizza that was really good, started being really good, was made from passionate people. People are always searching for the recipe and the this and the oven and the coal and the but it comes from here.
Yeah, they're overthinking it, right?
Exactly.
Passionate pizza people.
Yeah. So really to kind of get going, late 1800s, early 1900s, what was going on in the United States was something called the Industrial Revolution. Mm. Now, Kevin, do you remember from your history class what the Industrial Revolution was?
Oh, no. The quiz is coming.
It's coming, baby.
I wasn't prepared for this.
Well, that's why.
Fill me in.
You give me a guess. What do you think it was?
The Industrial Revolution was when industries were created here from people who were immigrating from other countries over to the U.S., right?
You're half right.
Oh. What half did I miss? I got a 50% of my test.
So the Industrial Revolution was a time in the United States where we went from not having a lot of things to buy to being able to buy a bunch of things.
Mm. Okay.
So the example I give, and I'm going to be very general, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, is if you wanted to get, if it was your son's birthday and he wanted a toy truck or a train, you had to go out and buy the wood and cut the wheels and cut the train out and paint it and put everything together.
Right.
If you had a daughter and she wanted a doll, you had to go out and buy the material. You had to cut it out. You had to stuff the head and put the eyes on and all the other stuff. After the Industrial Revolution, you were able to buy those things and not make them. So prior to the Industrial Revolution, in order to really have most things, you had to make them. Post-Industrial Revolution, you could buy them.
Got it.
And the cool part about it was most of that was on the East Coast. Hmm. So where you're from, where I'm from, you know, generally speaking, cities and towns on the East Coast, New England, that's where a lot of the stuff happened.
Yeah.
In all the factories.
Yeah.
The good thing about the Industrial Revolution, without getting too far into it, was it was a huge success. But simple economics, there's supply and demand. So the demand was really high.
Right, because everyone was like, wait, we could just buy these things?
Bingo. But the supply was tough because we didn't have a lot of these people to make things.
Yep.
So long story short, word got over to Europe, and we're going to talk about Italy and specifically that United States needed workers. Now, at that time in Italy, and again, I'm going to be very general here, they were going through something called unification, which, another history thing, prior to 1776, which I hope you know what significance that is, Kevin.
Yes, I know 1776, when the United States was founded, right?
Correct.
Yes.
So we had all these individual states. We had all these individual governments. Currency was different, so on and so forth. In 1776, the United States became a one country, one government, one money, one language. Italy did not have that. So at that time, late 1800s, early 1900s, in Italy, it was a mess being polite.
Yeah.
there were countries coming in trying to get land from Italy. There was multiple different, call them rulers. There was different currency. You went from one place to another in Italy and you spoke a different language. So it wasn't a great place to be living. So a bunch of these immigrants came over. A lot of them came over from the Campania region, generally speaking, the Amalfi Coast, and they started working in factories in New England.
I will say, I did my honeymoon, my wife and I, on the Amalfi Coast. That must have been a hard place to leave, weather-wise and beauty-wise, because people go on vacation there now, and it's like, we're gonna go over to New England.
Yeah, I agree. I'm actually going there for the first time next year, but I've seen pictures and videos and things like that, and it just seems to be kind of heaven on earth.
Stunning, yeah.
So to your point, it was that bad.
Right, that's what I mean.
They needed to come to the United States to work, and a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of the immigrants, when they came here to work, they worked in the factories. They didn't really want to work in the factories, but a lot of the money that they made, they sent back home to Italy because that's how they survived. But without getting too far down the line with the immigration and how they got here, what they brought with them was Italian food. Specifically, what we want to talk about is pizza. So in Italy, there were a bunch of things that the immigrants did. They were general laborers.
Yep.
They were stonemasons, which means they built stone structures, houses, buildings, storefronts. If you've ever been to Italy, there's a lot of farming there. So they farmed fruits, vegetables, cattle, you know, cows, all kinds of crazy stuff. If you look at Italy on a map, it's basically an island surrounded by water, but attached to the top of Europe. So if you're surrounded by water, what do you think you might do?
Get a boat?
Close.
Swim?
Fish.
Oh, fish, yeah.
Otto, Kevin.
I'm thinking about you're trying to leave.
So a lot of the Italians fished. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because this is going to be really relevant when we go over the menus.
Yeah.
I have some menus when the Italians first got here. But two things most relevant, they were pizza makers and bakers. Now, pizza over in Italy is very different than pizza over in the United States and definitely different than New Haven-style pizza.
Right.
But it started, you know, in Italy, so to speak. Whether it was Naples, it doesn't really matter. A lot of people also don't realize that a lot of the history we have, and you know, I am on the scratch of the surface pizza historian. There's a lot of people that know a lot more than me. They forget more than I know. But what I have learned and read about is that pizza was a peasant food.
Right. So I've heard that too. Yeah, that it was not a delicacy at all. It was, yeah.
No, so there aren't a lot of pictures. There aren't a lot of recipes. You know, it wasn't something that you would want to promote, so to speak. A little known fact, too, I believe this to be correct, that lobster was actually a peasant food.
Oh, I've talked about making a lobster pizza, too.
You have. So, you know, the history on pizza is kind of scattered all over the place in a lot of its oral history because there wasn't a lot that was documented. Anyways, I digress. Sometimes I do that. So the Italians landed in Ellis Island, which is a little bit outside of New York City. Basically, the migration path was Ellis Island, Manhattan, five boroughs, then up and down the East Coast. Now, what doesn't get talked about a lot is that they also went out west. They went down south. They went up north. So there are, and I have a growing collection of pizzerias all over the country. 30s, 40s, 50s. You know, the Italians just didn't come to New York and up and down the East Coast. They were all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they started getting frustrated about working in the factories, some of them opened up Italian bakeries. So in an Italian bakery, basically you had Italian bread, hard rolls, some type of pastry, cake, and then this round thing, which we call the New Haven Plain, which is the only place in the whole country that you can get a pizza with no mozzarella cheese.
Yeah, it's just the sauce in pecorino, right?
Bingo.
Yeah.
Now, the original pizza would have had probably alige, which are anchovies, and or garlic. So they started pizzerias. They started bakeries early 1900s, roughly 1910, 1920 or so. Pizzerias started popping up all over.
Yeah.
Whether the first one was in New Haven or not is up for discussion. I'm going to show you something in a couple of minutes about that. But what I want to do is actually start with this picture here. So this is a picture of a street I was told in West Haven called Washington Avenue. This place called Apps. And it's still actually around. But cool part about this picture, and a lot of people don't know this, is that a lot of the original pizzerias actually were out of people's homes.
Oh, okay.
So have you ever been to Zupardi's?
Yeah.
Okay. So Zupardi's
in the neighborhood, yeah.
Bingo. You wouldn't funny. Know Zupardi's existed if...
It's so funny driving there because you're going down like a regular neighborhood suburban street and then all of a sudden you see the sign and it looks like a white house.
100%.
Yeah.
And that's what this was. Most people lived in 2-3 family houses. The bottom floor was always the pizzeria or the bakery or the restaurant, regardless of what it was for food, pizza or not. And then the owners and the workers generally lived on the other two floors. But the point being is this picture here is a picture of a place called Apps. And the cool part about this is that you don't see the word pizza or Abbeats or anything, but you see the word pies.
Right, pies, spaghetti.
It says Apps Italian Pies.
Yeah.
Now, they weren't making apple pies or blueberry pies.
Right, it was pizza pies.
Right. So there's a bunch of words that we use in Connecticut for pizza. One of them is pies. I've seen on social media people like, well, that's not a pie. That's not a pie. Well, you know, that's what they call them.
Well, it reminds me a little bit, you know, like it's big in Stamford. It's like the fried dough, but they put the tomato sauce on it. Pizza frite.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that.
Yeah. So this is a really cool picture. Again, showing a little history. Pizza's not just in New Haven. This was obviously in West Haven. But the other thing that I laugh about is that right here, what does that say?
It says Arbeats, not Abbeats. Arbeats.
Right.
Arbeats.
So I love my Italian immigrants, but they weren't the sharpest pizza cutters in the draw. And so this is probably, I call these people Mom, Pa, Kettle, but probably Mom, Pa, Pacella. You know, they did the best they could in phonetically spelling
Abbeats.
Abbeats.
50 cents.
50 cents, probably for a large.
Yeah.
The other thing I have on the other side of this, and this is Mickey's Abbeats. And read that where that's from.
Bristol.
Right.
Where UConn is.
So a lot of people think or make you believe that pizza was only in New Haven. And pizza really was all over Connecticut.
Yeah.
So here's Bristol, Connecticut, which is kind of in the middle. Have you ever been to Bristol?
Yeah. It's, you know, way up there.
Right. It's way up there. There's no real easy way to get there.
Right.
So here, this here, and I think I actually showed this on the memorabilia episode, but this is a thermometer with a little calendar on it.
Mm.
So back in the day, like now the big thing is we give out shirts. We give out pizza boxes. The memorabilia that they had back then, and this was from the 50s, this actually says 1951 on it, was thermostats. You know, so
really?
You could tell how cold or hot it was in your house. And a little so the pizzerias
That's
would buy
wacky.
These and give these out to their you know, good customers.
Yeah.
But where I'm going with this is this pizzeria is clearly not in New Haven. It's not in West Haven. It's not even in New Haven County.
Right.
And we got our beats.
Yeah.
Now, I took another picture of this, and I should have brought it, but I didn't. This building is still out around. The building was 444 Park Street. It's actually a house now.
Oh, okay.
But it's really cool that this existed.
Yeah, that's neat.
So I'm going to go down the list here and just going to keep going a little bit about the history and a little bit about where these places are. This is another place, DePasquale's in Hartford, Connecticut.
Hartford, yeah.
Okay. I want you to read for me, Kevin. There should be something that says established. What does it say?
Established in 1906.
Right, 1906. Wow. So from my research, there was actually an article in the Register that the first pizzeria in New Haven, I believe, was 1917. Mm. So I'm not saying that this is right because I know that they could put anything they want in their menus.
Right.
But last I checked, 1906 came before 1917.
Yeah, so either right? someone's, either they put it just to have it or, yeah, or
history, or it could be right.
History is different, right.
So I have to research this. But the point being is a lot of people never heard of this place, DePasquale's. It was unfortunately bulldozed down late 60s. They had this thing called revitalization. Mm. In Hartford, New Haven, a lot of the cities all over the country. But this place was knocked down. This was basically the Frank Pepe Sally's of Hartford.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the cool part about this place, now this is actually the front of their menu, probably from the 50s mm-hmm. or 60s. But this is the back of the menu. And this has got a lot of interesting stuff, really cheap prices. But again, my point being is this is not in New Haven, Connecticut.
Right.
And again, this has nothing to do with not New Haven, Connecticut being awesome and definitely one of the huge pizza areas of the state. But we've got evidence here.
Right. That it's throughout the whole state, there was pizzerias popping up.
Throughout the whole state.
Is that still there?
It's not still there.
It's not still there. Okay.
Yeah, no. The street isn't there. The building isn't there. I've got a lot of postcards from this place. I got a lot of matchbooks from this place.
Yeah, that's
it's fun. Actually, you know, it was really one of the most well-known Italian places in the Hartford County.
Yeah, that's neat.
I'm going to keep going down the line here. So here's another one. Again, not in New Haven. This is Jim and Nino's Abitz Restaurant and Bakery.
I like that logo with the guy right there.
I love it. This is one of my favorite. This is a matchbook. This is obviously a blown up matchbook so that people can see it. I had someone in my class once ask me if this was actually the matchbook. I'm like, no.
There's some big matches.
Yeah, some big matches. But this is really cool because it says North Main Street in
Brantford.
In Brantford. And it's so old that it doesn't even have an address. It just says North Main Street.
Yeah, it doesn't have a number. Right. And look at large parking area. That's good for your parking lot pizza, Frank, if it was around back then.
I'm sure the building might still be there. The cool part about this is the other side of the matchbook has spaghetti on it.
Real Italian style spaghetti. Spaghetti was huge back then. All these places I've noticed have it on the windows, on the menus, on the.
You are very
spaghetti was
correct.
Was the big thing back then.
And that's the thing that people don't talk about. And I think it's just funny. You know, everyone talks about the pizza, but take a look at this here. You'll see that this says spaghetti on here, and now we've got this here says spaghetti.
Well, you got to figure, like you said, people here probably hadn't had spaghetti before.
Correct.
So they were like, what is this new spaghetti thing? And it's fun to say. So that all these places promoting it.
Yeah, and plus this was a new food.
Yeah.
And the kids didn't really particularly like the pizza because it was new,
right,
so they had spaghetti.
Good for kids. Yeah.
And most importantly, spaghetti was cheap.
Yeah.
And these people that were consuming these products, not a dig, not being demeaning, they didn't have a lot of money.
So matchbooks and thermostats they were giving out as handouts at these restaurants.
Thermometers.
Oh, thermometers, yeah.
I screw that up all the time because a thermostat is a variable control.
Right, but that's a modern day.
Right, thermometer tells you this basically the temperature.
Thermometers and matchbooks, that's funny.
Yeah, so these are some cool things here. We've got a couple more minutes and I'm going to spend the last 3-4 minutes talking about this. This is probably the coolest thing that I have in my collection. Now, this is a matchbook from Sally's.
Yep.
I've never seen another one like this before. Very quick story about this. So I have a huge collection of memorabilia, pizza memorabilia in Connecticut, and now it's kind of growing into the country. Mm. But when I got this matchbook, I bought it with another matchbook, which was a Frank Pepe matchbook.
Oh.
And what I found out was that, like, our parents' generations and their generations' parents, they collected matchbooks.
Yeah.
It was like a thing, like baseball cards you know, Cabbage Patch Kids and whatever. I'm dating myself here. But to make a long story short, the matchbooks were they were unfolded and glued on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. And that they would just display them and have books of matchbooks.
Nice.
So when I got this matchbook, the back of the matchbook was completely covered in white dried glue. I didn't know that it had anything on the back of it. You know, when I first saw this, I bought it online, they just showed the front cover.
Right.
And in matchbook collecting, it's called matchbook covers. That's what you collect. Mm-hmm. And then there's a full matchbook that has all the matches still in it. I digress. The cool part about this is what's on the back, which is this.
Is that the menu?
That's the menu.
Oh, yeah. Italian pies made to order at these prices. 30 cents for a small cheese and tomato pie.
So the cool part about this was that when I got this, this was covered in white glue. All
right. That's really neat.
And so it took me.
It's got the Salvatore's consiglio, the phone number. Yeah.
Yeah. This here, I wouldn't sell for any amount of money. And I have some really cool old neon beat signs and I got all kinds of stuff. There's just something about this matchbook that I love. And the thing that I really love about it, and I'm going to kind of hold it up and read it at the same time. I'm going to read it really quick. The first, there's only 5 menu choices.
Yeah.
So
that's
this,
all they had.
That's all they had. This menu roughly was, you know, late 30s, mid 40s ish.
Yep.
5 menu choices. The first one is cheese and tomato.
So that's the New Haven plain.
Bingo.
Yep.
Now, the thing that I want people to know is that the cheese that they talk about, because there's cheese on every single one of these options, is not whole milk, low moisture mozzarella like we have on most of our pizzas today. It's actually hard cheese.
Like pecorino?
Right. Pecorino, Parmesan.
Because it doesn't go bad as quickly, right?
Damn, you're learning,
kid. Look at me. I'm turning it around.
Woo,
now.
Dog.
I got a little stumped with the Industrial Revolution, but I'm bringing it back.
From Pizzeria Uno, man. You got it, baby. So really quickly, anchovies and tomato.
I like anchovies. I actually think I would have liked that. I like anchovies on my Caesar salad because I like salty. I think I would have been into that.
I can't
that.
Get pasta. Yeah. I'm not an anchovies guy. This the third one, cream cheese and tomato.
Seems like a breakfast pie.
So people always, they always put their eyebrows up
like when a bagel.
In my classes, like they think it's, I don't eat cream cheese, but
like a bagel.
Right. But point being is they think that they put cream cheese on the tomato, but actually the cream cheese was fresh mozzarella.
Oh, okay.
Because so it's creamy.
It's almost like a creme fraiche type deal.
Right. And so a lot of the original pizzerias did not have a lot of refrigeration, if at all any, so they could freshly make.
They could, yeah.
You know, and that's why they used
Makes
it.
Makes sense.
So bacon, cheese, and tomato, which is
Sounds
pretty standard.
Good.
But the last one on here, I'm just going to call nasty.
This is the only one I'd be out on, I think. I'd try a bite, but.
Read it.
Tuna fish, cheese, and tomato.
Right.
I don't know. And I'm guessing they're doing like the tuna, like in the can with mayo.
Yeah. So another good observation. And none of this was staged. We're actually doing this. So this is what I just geek out about this. The original pizzerias, as we established already, were out of people's homes.
Yeah.
For the most part. They didn't have a lot of refrigeration. They didn't have a lot of money. Even if they could afford a refrigerator, the electricity was expensive.
Right.
So there's two things on this menu which are really cool. One is the anchovies, two is the tuna fish. Couple things. One, that's what they fished for in Italy, so that's what they ate.
Okay, that makes sense.
And two is, a lot of people don't know this, but in New Haven and probably other cities as well, and towns as well, they had a large importing business from Italy. Mm. So the tuna fish and the alige, generally speaking, is heavily salted, canned, and in oil, so it would last a day or two.
I guess that kind of makes sense. Yeah. And with the oil, like, I might be coming around on the tuna fish now. Maybe I would try it.
My mother used to force me to eat tuna fish, and I hated it. So it's just like peas, the same.
I like a tuna sandwich, but I don't know about the pizza. I don't know if I could do that.
So, anyways, see where this is going.
Real quick before we wrap it up, these phone numbers are interesting too. 6-5271. So there was no, like how we have it now.
Yeah, this was
no
way
area
before.
Code. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wacky.
And then there was a separate phone number for reservations.
Right.
Which is the secret number.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. Well, that's some cool stuff you got, Frank. That's awesome. Yeah.
So I figured, you know, I could talk more and more about this, but we'll wrap it up. And, you know, I think this is some good information.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely support all your pizzerias throughout the whole state of Connecticut or wherever you live. You know, definitely go to your local spots. Try different places. I always tell people that, too. You love the place that you go to all the time, obviously, and you want to support them. But try other places. Go to the town over. Go to a different spot that you've heard of. Like, just try all the different ones because it just supports everybody.
Yeah, no, that old saying, variety is the spice of life. I mean, I really, if you put a gun to my head, I could not tell you what my favorite pizza place is because there's so many really good places. And I, you know, there's a lot of different pies that I like in different places, but that's just me.
All right, that does it. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all the social media podcast platforms. Listen, share it with your friends. And thanks so much for watching and listening. Remember, it's not burnt.
It's charred, baby.
New Haven style pizza. Come and take a seat. A pizza, it's time to eat.